Okay. So, since I've been a little slack and have a short lecture, I'll have to make it up again and do some labs. So, I'm going to run through, maybe a little fast, but still, I'm going to go through and highlight in the labs in chapter 16. Anti-debugging and not anti-VM, because anti-debugging is more useful to know than anti-VM.
And you have to try yourself first. Don't just look at the solution.
Solution is nice to have, but please try for yourself. Okay, so this is the executable for 16.1. And as you can see here, I'm in the beginning. Here's the main function, lot of variables set, and here it begins. So, first mistake people do is they're just like, oh, sweet, malware, and then there's a go, do 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 do, and look, and then oh, function goes into it, and are lost forever. So, since we are working with a lab, we have to read the lab assignment text. So, first one, which anti-debugging techniques does this malware employ? So, this one is quite easy. It starts quite fast with the first one. And for those that remember the lecture, the FS30 is something to recognize and have a mental alert that this is something to look out for when you're reversing, because FS30 is the address to the PEB, the process environmental block, where flags are set. So address to PEB is set to EAX, and then the second byte of the PEB is placed in the lowest set of bytes in EBX, BL. This is then set to a variable. This variable is then again set to EAX, and then you're testing EAX. So, what is happening here? This is a manual check for is debugger present. This here, manual check for is the debugger present. So here it begins, and it takes the address, second byte, and tests the second byte. And if the result of the test is one, as in not zero, it goes to this function. We don't care about that. We want to go where it is zero and nothing is set in the is debugger present. And then we go here. And again, there's another one. FS30, the PEB address. It's set in EAX, 18 this time. And for those that remember what 18 is, but don't remember 18, 18 is the fourth flag in the heap. No, it's a memory heap of the process. And then again, on the offset 10 in the process heap is the fourth flags. The first byte in the fourth flags are set to this variable, and then again compared to if it's zero. And that fourth flag is for the kernel debugger if the debugger is present. And if the fourth flag is set, that debugger is present, it goes to this function again, or else it continues on its merry way. Right. And again, another test, FS30, offset 68. Subtract 70. detect the value of the offset 68 into EAX, subtract that value with 70 hex, result into this variable, and test if zero. So as we remember, this is the those flags that are just set by the Windows operating system that accumulate to the value of 70. There are a lot of different flags, not directly. Some are directly to the debugger, some are the environment around, but some of these flags are 70. So when you then are subtracting the value you get out with 70, and if that's zero, well, then there are a debugger. Debugger present, because the value is 70. So again, if value is 70, go to that function there or continue. Alright, so here are some arg count. Check if the arg count is 1, if there are no parameters. If it is, you go to this function. And here as well, there are some FS30, yeah, that looks about it. Some query, yeah, FS30. Okay, so after some quick looking, we can conclude that the main anti-debugging technique in this malware is manually checking flags set by a Windows operating system in the process environmental block. All right. So, question 2.
Just a question.
Yeah, you. Question.
Is it always this obvious? Do these flag checks come in the beginning of the program?
Not necessarily.
Repeat the question.
The question was, is it always this obvious? Not really, but you can't get around this FS30 call here and put the value somewhere. So if you see this part, you have to be on the guard and continue looking for where it's continue being used. We'll see some example about that later.
And it makes sense that it's in the beginning of the program.
Well, not necessarily. It does not always have to be in the beginning of the program, because you can do it. Well, a lot of programs have a beginning where you're just setting up for the executing of the malicious code. So you should have it before you're doing your malicious activity, at least, but not necessarily in the beginning, or you can. You can get the FS30 in the beginning of your file, put it on the stack, and forget it for maybe hundreds of instructions. And then you are in the same place on the stack, get that memory address, do a checking, oh, there's a debugger present, let's quit out. Okay, so question the second. What happens when each anti-debug technique succeeds? All right, so we know that here in the beginning, this is the anti-debug technique, and if it detects a debugger, it goes here. As you can see here, this is the same as these are all the same for all the checks. So we don't have to go looking in each and every one. We just go into the first one. And let's see what it does. Nope. Okay, so here's some system calls, API calls, get file name, path, here's a string that's interesting, /c del, here's a pipe to null, parameters, offset file, cmd, okay, So here's a shell execute A, which is calling on the system to do something with a parameters. So if you want, you can look on MSDN to see what parameters this function call takes. Or you can do debugging and set breakpoints just before and see what the parameters here are in conjunction with cmd.exe. But since it's in clear text pretty much, and get file name and such, we can conclude that it's deleting itself if it's detecting a debugger. But we can verify that quite easily by setting a breakpoint there. Oops. Right, I now ran the program. It detected a debugger. It went into the function that we were just in. And I have to try to get this. All right, so 00 CMD. All right, so here's the parameters that are added onto cmd.exe. These are, this is in the memory of the process. As you can see here, it goes downward here and it's clearly ASCII signs. Just push A. No, not easily. Okay. Hey, there we go. I had marked wrong place. There's a clear ASCII sign, C/del, and here's a path to this, to where the programs run from. And the result of that del function is piped to null, so you can't get any errors. But errors are taken care of. So, it's deleting itself if it detects a debugger. So we just name this function delete and exit. Let me know what it is. Delete and exit. Alright, question 3. How can you get around these debugging techniques? Well, what I like to do is just set breakpoint on each of these jump instructions. Boink. Boink. And just run. Oh, yeah, sorry. I guess it deleted itself now. We'll try again. Alright, so here I just ran through the program. It hit the first breakpoint in the main function, and here's a jump zero. It tested for a debugger, and yes, it found a debugger, but I don't want to go that way, so I'm going on to the flag register up here, onto the right side. Hit zero once, zero flag zero, up in the side of the window, and space to flip that flag. And now we see the green arrow is blinking, because now we are changing the direction where we're going. F9 again, new test. Ah, we found a debugger, it's going to delete itself. I don't want that. Zero flag, set that to 1. And go to the next one, and so on and so forth. Just flip flags. Set breakpoints and flip flags. Okay. So, question 4. How do you manually change the structures checking during runtime? Well, what I did was I looked up the upcode for jumps, because If you are editing the file, you have to make sure that you're editing, you're not adding or taking away too many bytes from the file, because then you are going to break everything. So I just looked up what jump not zero is, because now it's jumping if it's zero. But I want the opposite. So then I know that jump not zero is 75, not 74. So what I then did was I went into the file, copied that, I copied the file, I made a new file, I opened it with hex edit, read only file. Let's not do that then. Alright, hex edit. What? Pardon, but that's not the news. Okay, so we want to change this one instruction, for instance. Well, we can see here that it's doing some checks before. Let's just take this hex value here, copy it, go into the hex editor, tools, find hex, search, find hex. All right, so here we found something. Dun, dun, dun. So here's looking into Ida again. We copied. Yeah, we copied. We copied this string and search for it. Then we see that there are two more bytes here. 850C, then 7405. So 8501, alright, 7405. Here's the jump instruction. So I want to edit that, so I have the opposite of the test right now. So if I just right now, 70, you can't edit. Come on, man. Not in use. Well, I'm sorry, I don't know why it's mad, but it is. But that's what I would do. I would go into the hex editor, I would search for a long hex string just before, count bytes until I find my jump instruction, and just increment 74 to 75 and get the opposite jump instruction, and do that for every place I want to do. So I'm not doing anything with the debugger check itself, or just editing what it wants to do when it finds a debugger. Okay, we'll just make that answer to number four. So, question five. Which other debug plugin will protect you from the anti-debugging techniques used by this malware? Well, first off, I'm not using Oli Debug. And secondly, Oli has a lot of plugins. So you have a high debugger, stealth debugger, something like that you can add on to Oli Debug that will forcefully flip flags when you are checking for debuggers. So it's pretty much just Oli stealth or Oli hide or something like that. So that would make this check not return true. Yep, that's fast through number one. Any questions from the audience? All right. Let's see, number two. All right. All right. Again, we have to read the questions. The goal of this lab is to figure out the correct password. The malware does not drop malicious payload. All right. So, first question, what happens when you run this lab from command line? Okay. Then I go into my virtual machine that's running the malware, and I command prompt. And then I go and run lab 2. You search lab 2 and 4 character password. Alright? So that's what happens when you run it from command line. What happens when you guess the command line password? Alright, lab A, B, C, D. Incorrect. Try again. Alright? Load. Question. Well, question 3. What is the command line password? That's quite a strange question to have. As number 3, because you can't really guess it out of the blue. Here we are in strings. Here's a pass, maybe that is the right pass. Only debug. Right, you've entered the correct password. Where do you lead us? Reference, incorrect, no. Correct password. Where do you lead us? You lead us to this string compare. So here's something we want to look into. It's a string compare, and it either goes to incorrect password or correct password. So here's something interesting. So we forget question 3 and go on to question 4. Load the lab into IDEPRO, where in the main function is string compare found? Well, we found it. It's in this memory address of 00402123A. Or if you want, after this first if function. Alright, what happens when you load this map into OLEDBug using default settings? Try that at home. I don't have OLEDBug on my computer, so but I would guess with the question 6, what is unique about the PE structure of the lab? I would guess there are something wrong with the PA header that makes OLED crash, like I went through in the lecture. Alright. Question 7. Where is the callback located? TLS callbacks. So in IDA, control E makes this prompt come up. And here we have start and the main function, and here's the TLS callback 0. And the TLS starts in this memory address, 00401060. And here you can see, before even main starts, this code is run. And here we can find window. That's the API I mentioned in my lecture. And that is given OLEDBug. So if we had only debug, this would directly go into exit and close. Okay, but if there aren't any other debug, well, then it goes to this one, and it compares this variable to 2. We can't see what this variable is, but it's something. And if it is 2, it calls this function. And here's an output debug string, and the value of b. Well, this is question 8, actually, going a little further. Which anti-debug technique is the program using to determine immediately in the debugger, how can you avoid this check? So, you can set breakpoints on here and flip flags, or I would set a breakpoint here because it's comparing with 2 to arbitrary value we don't know, and here to 1. So I would maybe set a breakpoint here and see what it's really comparing. And inside here is an output debug string, and that's also a commonly known debug test. Alright, so question 9. What is the command line password you see in the debugger after you disable the anti-debugging technique? Alright, so first we have to trigger it with debugging techniques. Activated. So I set debugger process options ABCD. All right. Run my malware. Yes, I know this malware. Okay, so here we are in the TLS callback. All right, so here we have arg4 compared with 1. All right, arg4 is 1 right now. Okay, so it's going to check for all the debug, but there aren't any all the debug, so I just run to next. All right, arg4 is still 1, so no hit here, and it continues on within the merry way. All right, suddenly I'm here again. What happened now? No, it goes directly here, and arg4 is 2. Okay. Next. And then it's a hit here, and it goes into this. And you're doing a debug. Okay, I think I want a breakpoint there. Next. Yeah, no, as you can see here, sorry, debug application message B. It has now successfully printed B to my debug terminal. All right. Well, you can have that for now. I don't want to change that. And again, inside TLS callbacks, what is going on? Now it's 3, and it jumps over, and now we are in the string compare. Alright, so something strange has happened, but now we are in the string compare. So, here's my string, ABCD, okay, argv is the path to the file, yes. Char C. Here's something. What are you? You are ASCII signs. Contract string, yes, please. BZQR pass. All right. What are you? Okay. So string compare. Uh, you have to have a size of how many characters you're going to compare. Well, here we are going to compare 4. Then you have this one. So we are going to compare the 4 first bytes of this string with this string. Okay, so, well, this is not going to work. So, bzqr. Let's debug options. bzqr. Those first. First. So, run. Into here. Check for all the debug. No, go next, go directly to that test. Debug present, well, yes, of course, we can have that. The third one, right. All right, here on the same compare. All right, bzqr, and I have bzqr string compare by all logic, this should succeed. We went to the right way. You enter the correct password. Next calls this function. What are you? It takes a file pointer. Just to make it fast, I know that this is a print. Oops, sorry. Print to console. I have looked into this before, so I just know that this is print to console. Go through that, and let's go into the malware. You have entered the correct password. Huzzah! But what happens if we now bzqr? This should work. It did not. So.
Time flies when you have fun. You have 10 minutes left.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm soon done with this. With this one, it's quite a difficult one. So, the deal is that there are two different passwords. There are password when you are debugging and the password when you are running it. So what happens here is that. Inside here, you have a create thread and a sleep. So, when it creates a thread, it goes to this address. And this address has a lot of stuff that happens. And what it does, it deobfuscates, places memory, and makes a password out of it. That's going to be string compare. So, when you're doing all these checks, for instance, if I run it now, it checks for all debug. There aren't any, so it passes as OK. Next one, it checks here, and it prints to the debugger. It succeeded, but I don't want it to know that it succeeded. So I flip the flag. It goes true. Yes, yes, yes. And now we're on the string compare. And now we see that the password is BYQR. So it's another password is flipped. A new character in the password. But I know for a fact that this won't work on the command line either, because this thread starts this, and inside here you have for those who are awake, FS30. And it saves that to the EBX. And where is EBX used? You down here. EBX, second byte, set into the BL. BL is added to the pointer to this password, and on the second byte in this password is added with BL. So that means that now, when we did not work around this, it is BYQR. But when you add 1, you go to the next character in the ASCII alphabet. And what comes after Y in the ASCII alphabet? Set? No? Yeah. So then it's B E set Q R. Now B set Q R, but that's what we had it's the second byte, but you start counting on zero, so it's the third byte really. So the first one is B, also zero, one is Y, and two is Q. So the next after Q is R. So when you now have the before R is Q, so it adds one to the third character, so it becomes a Q. If you remove that check, let's say the check returned a zero, you don't add anything there. So therefore, you have an R instead of a Q. I'll try to show what I mean. Right, first check, there aren't any other debug. Alright, nice. Second, print, you could print, I don't want you to know that. Flip that zero flag. Alright, now we're into the thread. And now it's in here. Here we see that it's obfuscated still. But BL is 1. So it's adding on the second byte or the third character. It's going to add 1, so it's become 1 bigger character, or the next character in the alphabet. But since we know that this is a debugger check, we want that to become 0. So I go into B EBX, edit 0, so that we mitigate the FS30 is debugger present check. Continue on your merry way, do some stuff, all right. Now we are on the compare. So first one here, BYRR pass. So we haven't added the is debugger present flag check. So therefore it's an R instead of a Q. So if you guess now that we have gotten all of the anti-debug tests, you can just stop. Go into the virtual machine. B Y R R. Wasn't it? I guess it was. You have entered the correct password. So the checks here are really a string that it's appending 1 byte for each debugger that it hits, debugger check that hits. So if you mitigate all those, never add any values to the alphabet, so then you get the base one, and that's BYRR.
And that, I think, is a good place to stop.
Yep, I guess that's the place to stop.
Yeah, the rest is up to you. Tusen takk.
Varsågod.
For å skrive en mikrofon.
Nei.